Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Please join me now in a prayer. Living God, with joy, we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Bring our hearts to life with your Holy Spirit so we may hear and proclaim the good news of Christ's resurrection. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 11 through 15. And it's the story how some were told not to spread the good news. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. And after the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed, and this story is still told among the Jews to this day.
There's danger in following a lectionary. The lectionary is a schedule of scripture readings that we use to walk us through God's story in a way that makes sense relative to the church year and exposes us to kind of the whole of what scripture has to say to us. The danger in following a lectionary is that sometimes the lectionary hands you something that feels a little bit wrong for the occasion of the day. Paul's scripture reading for us was a little bit wrong for the occasion of the day because later on in the service we're going to be ordaining and installing elders. And if you were paying really close attention to what the elders did in the course of the scripture reading, elders, incoming elders, don't be like these elders. Even after the resurrection, the religious leaders are still conspiring to somehow do away with Jesus. Like, you would think that the resurrection itself would function as unequivocal proof that you can't possibly do away with Jesus. But you know religious leaders, right? They are none too swift on the uptake, and they are still trying to get rid of him. Now, I also have to call attention to a particular word, that little tagline at the end of the scripture reading when Matthew tells us, "Now, this story is still told among the Jews to this day." That word, the Jews. Watch that. Watch that because you have to remember that the Gospels are all written sort of in the midst of this family argument among different groups of Jews. Some who had understood Jesus as the Messiah, the promised one that they were waiting for, and others who did not understand Jesus as the Messiah, the promised one that they were waiting for. But this is an argument within a family here, and so we can't use this scripture or really anything else said in the New Testament to buttress the centuries of anti-Semitism that arose after Christianity became the politically dominant religion. So I just have to flag that word and help you understand that that is not referring to anyone in existence today. This was an argument within a particular moment in time. That word is there, that argument is there, because like a lot of the Gospel of Matthew, these two stories are set right next to each other, sort of as like a tale of two, right? This is a tale of two commissions. And it presents this stark choice to us about how we are going to respond to the good news that we have heard and received. And so in the first story, the guards went and told the religious leaders, "Hey, this thing happened, we were asleep somehow, the lock-in went badly for them, and Jesus left while we were asleep." And the chief priests and elders, not these elders, The chief priests and elders said, "That's great. You should totally tell people that." So they got paid off to tell the truth. They were asleep and Jesus left. Now they were to season that with the idea, we were asleep, and while we were asleep, we saw Jesus' disciples come and take him away. There's something of a plot hole in their story here. We are about to get our commission as well, and that's the scripture lesson, continuing right on the heels of that scripture reading in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. As you go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" This is the word of the Lord. Matthew's choices are so stark because this entire gospel has been a crisis of faith. It's been speaking into this crisis of what it means when God's will comes into the world. So all the way back at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was in the wilderness fasting and being tested by the devil came to Jesus and offered him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. Jesus said no at the time, and now Jesus has gotten them, but not the way that the devil wanted him to. He comes to the disciples on this mountain and says, "I have received all authority in heaven and on earth," just like we have been hearing about the kingdom of heaven breaking into earth, just like every week we pray that God's kingdom would be made real on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus today says, "Here it is." Jesus today reminds us that we live under the authority of the Lord of heaven and earth, that the kingdom we have been praying for is here in Jesus' hand. And so everywhere we go, Jesus is already coming to us there. Everywhere we go, every day of our lives, Jesus gives us that promise. He is with us always and every day until the end of the age. And so we live this day and every day under the authority of the kingdom of heaven. And this day and every day we choose whether we are living under the authority of the kingdom of heaven or under all of those kingdoms of the world that the devil offered to Jesus. The guards were given instructions to speak about what had happened in a way that called into question the authority of the kingdom of heaven. They were charged to go and tell the story of whatever happened while they were asleep in a way that makes us wonder whether it's possible for that kingdom of heaven to really be the authority that holds the world together. And we are sent to teach the world to obey Christ's commands, to keep Christ's commands. That's a word that talks about faithfulness to who God is and what God has invited us to be as we live in the world. We are sent out wherever we go to show the world what it looks like when we obey the commands of Christ. The commands of Christ to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're sent to go and make disciples in just that way. And the thing about making disciples is that the only way you make disciples is by being a disciple. The only way that we can make disciples is by living as if we too are disciples of the risen Christ. We are already making disciples everywhere we go. It could almost be a statement of fact rather than a command. Everywhere we go, we are already shaping the world and the lives of those that we come into contact with. We're shaping those lives in obedience to whatever it is, whatever authority it is we have placed ourselves under. And so, what does our way of life teach? Does our way of life teach that Jesus is with us always? Does our way of life teach that heaven and earth are united in Jesus' authority, present here on earth with us? Wherever we go, our lives make disciples of whatever that authority is that we serve. And that goes double for you who are elders, for you who are right now about to be ordained and installed as elders, for you who are continuing in service on session, and for all of you who are going to be invited to participate in the laying on of hands, you who have already been ordained as elders, because once you're an elder, you're stuck with it. That's part of the deal. That authority that is given to you, that is shared with you, is actually a charge to continue living in a way that shows it's possible to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But those of you who are not yet elders, you don't get off the hook either, because none of the people Jesus gave this commission to had been separated out and hands laid on them as elders yet. They were just the church. So church, our way of being together, our way of living together in this world and living together for the sake of this world, that is in fact part of the way that we spread whatever news it is we've been given to spread. And so the way that we live together that watches out for each other, that aims to provide for each other, that aims to provide for each other in a way that the blessings that we share spill over into the life of the world around us and bless our neighbors, not just in these pews, but everywhere we go. That's the good news that we are called to share as well. So wherever we create relationships with our neighbors who need to experience the good news of the kingdom of heaven, we are bearing witness to this risen Christ who is present among us. Whenever we spend our time serving those who are poor, oppressed, or dislocated, we are serving the work of this kingdom of heaven as it breaks into the earth. Sometimes we wonder, what's the future for the 21st century church? Sometimes the elders wonder about that. Sometimes those of you who are not on session wonder about that. Well, I can tell you the future of the 21st century church is in the same place as the future of the 1st century church and the 5th century church and the 12th century church and the 18th century church. It will continue to grow among the lives of those who are out on the margins, who are out in need, who are out searching for something that the world has no interest in providing to them. So, elders, I'm going to invite you to lead this church boldly. I'm going to invite you to take chances and risks on behalf of this good news that we have been charged to spread and share in the world. And church, elders or not, I'm going to invite you to live your lives boldly, to take risks on behalf of the church and in your own lives. That risks that bear witness to where Jesus is in the world, risks that allow you to make disciples everywhere you go, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in that particular ordered way that we as Presbyterians go about baptizing people, but in a much more broad, expansive way, teaching with everything you do and with every way you love your neighbor, to obey and celebrate everything that Christ has invited us to do and be in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission. Good morning. My name is Addie, and on behalf of the youth group, I would like to thank everyone for their support at our friendship dinner last night. We raised $1,144. There are leftover... There are leftover desserts in the fellowship hall for you to enjoy after church. We also have leftover entrees for sale if you are interested. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.